Before we begin, let us take a few moments to worship the Supreme One, the infinitely compassionate One, the Sublime One, the Supreme Buddha. To do so, please recite Namaskara all together and with me.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Back in the history of, you can say, humans, and I'm saying especially not in this day and age, but maybe hundreds, maybe 500s, even thousands of years back, there was a time where people, if they do something wrong, were punished. And it can vary from, you know, being hung, being executed, and whatnot. And it was very interesting. I think I was thinking about this and how very similar it is to something that we know. And especially in, as I remember, in the medieval times in the world, before a person was executed, right, in many countries throughout the world, they'll be asked for their last request. So, before you are executed, what would you like? And it could be anything, right? They'll give you your favorite meal, right? They'll give you maybe a comfortable bed. And the next day, well, your head gets chopped off or you're hung publicly. And it's very interesting, I think. I think as while I was thinking about this, it was very interesting, because if you were the prisoner and you were to be hung tomorrow and they ask you, what is your last wish? Would you ever go and say, you know what, I haven't had chocolate ice cream in a while. Can I have some chocolate, like a massive bowl of chocolate ice cream with sprinkles or more chocolate syrup on top? Would you ever ask for something like that? No, the answer simply would be no. However, this is exactly what our mind goes through. So if we go back to the very basic, when we talk about the mind, what is the one thing that we continuously talk about? The mind will arise and pass away. Now, if we were to give it a very simple lifespan, what is the purpose of the mind? The purpose of the mind is to, well, perceive what we perceive, or what the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, physical, the body, or ideas from the mind. That is the entire purpose of the mind. Now, it's really interesting. If there was no mind, if you did not have a mind, what would the world be like? If you didn't have a mind, what would the world be like? Would it be, you know, a bit brighter? Will people be nicer? What would it be like? Would there be a world? No, because our senses are what gives us our world. So what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think is our world. If our mind doesn't arise, what is in our world? Nothing. So technically, without the mind, there is no world. Now, if we know that, if we know that, you know, the only way we can perceive is if we have the mind, and the mind is something that arises and passes away. Now we come to the same situation as the criminal. Why? When the mind arises and it has a view, for example, it has the view that chocolate ice cream is good. Now, when the mind arises, it's looking for what? If it has the view that chocolate ice cream is good, what is it looking for? Chocolate ice cream. So when the mind arises, it says, you know, as my last wish, I would like some chocolate ice cream. And that single mind will now do what? Go look for what? Chocolate ice cream. Unfortunately, it's almost as if the criminal will ask. The moment it's asked, the moment the criminal asks, the head gets chopped off. Or if we want to improve this example, okay. There's a mother, a blind mother in a prison. She was put there because of some reason, but she has a lifetime sentence. She's inside the prison and, you know, she has various things that she would like to do. One of the things is that she would like to see the outside world. And not only see the outside world, she wants to see a rose flower. Now, because she's trapped inside the jail, right, in this prison, can she see a rose flower? No. So, but she really wants to see it. So what does she do? She decides, you know what? I want a child. I want a child. And this child will grow up, right? When they become, say, 16 or 18, right? Because they've done nothing wrong, they'll be sent outside the prison. And they can go around, see a rose, and come back to me and explain what a rose looks like. So what does she do? She gives birth. And for the next 16 years, she looks after the child, feeds the child, clothes the child. Right? Whenever the child gets sick, we'll medicate the child. And at the age of 16, the child, she goes to one of the guards and says, look, my child has done nothing wrong, right? He was born in this prison. Let's send him out. And the guards are nice, so they say, okay, I'll ask the king. The king agrees and sends the child out on one condition. If the child comes back to the prison, he or she will be executed. It's okay. We'll let the child out. And as the child is going out, the mother says, son, I want to see a rose. That's all she says. The sun goes out, starts roaming the world, right? And finally and looks for what a rose flower is. Because has the sun ever seen a rose? No. So what does he do? He goes around and asks, what is this rose? And we'll see one. And we'll take it and say, wow, the rose looks like this, looks like this, looks like this. And starts running back to where? The prison. The moment the child enters the prison and says, Mom, wah, has chopped off. This is exactly what happens in the mind. Because what we have to realize is that a mind is something that arises and passes away. A mind is something that arises and passes away. Only at this moment can it perceive. Can it see, hear, smell, taste, and touch? At this point, can it see? Can the mind perceive? At the last point, can the mind perceive? No. At this point, can the mind perceive? No. It is this that is perceiving. Can you see? All right. Now, the mother is like the base, the mind base, right? The environment for the mind to arise. Now, this environment is just there until what? Until there's until the mind gets the necessity, or the mind base has the necessity for what? All right, we'll take it very basically. Before we take perceiving and whatnot, we'll say it has, at one point, has the necessity for what? To see a rose flower. Now, when the mind has the necessity to see in rose flower, what happens? Necessity is the mother of what? Invention. So what happens is, at a point in time, when the view has been placed that, you know, rose flowers are beautiful, Now the mind base, right, has a necessity. Oh. Now, when it says it has a necessity, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's a thing and it's thinking. No, a necessity is placed. When at the moment of a necessity, what happens? Necessity is the mother of invention. A mind is formed. A mind will arise because of this necessity. It needs to find what? What is a rose flower? What is it? It does, or is the rose flower actually beautiful? And so the mind base will try to make, again, it's not personifying and saying, you know, it's making. No, according to the causes, the mind will manifest. And it will manifest, and then it will perceive something. Now, for this example, right, let's say it does perceive a rose flower. Right? I can't draw roses, but, you know, bear with me. That's a rose, right? It looks good, right? It perceives a rose. But the moment it perceives a rose, what happens? The mind that rose has to pass away. Now, the blind mother cannot see, has never been outside of the prison. So it will make a child to go and perceive. But unfortunately, when the child comes back, does it come back with a happy, happy, it can come back with happy news or sad news. But any news it brings, what happens? Before it can actually give information, what happens? The mind will pass away. Now, that mind, the mother who wants to see a flower, a rose flower, a very simple wish, just wants to see what? A rose flower. For 16 years, will try to make a mind. Right? Because necessity is a mother of invention. Again, the mother's not making here. The mind is what? Made. The mind is what? Manifested. And then, when it passes away, now can the mind base perceive the flower? So what would it do next? What would the mind base do next? My child, my first child, was so close. Came to me and just said, wow. So what do I, so that means a rose flower must be what? Must be amazing. Must be incredibly beautiful. So what should I do? I really want to see one. So what does the mother do? Again, gives birth. Now what? Now, it's almost as if we're talking about, we're holding a rose flower right in front of our eyes. We're not talking about us going and buying and or searching for it. We have a rose flower right in front of our eyes. Right? Literally, our eyes and the rose flower are like so close to each other that every mind will say, for this example, it's arising with the perception of a rose flower. Now, because of necessity, another mind is born. Another mind is manifested. Now, rose flower. But again, what comes up must come down. Now what? Now at the end, what is the mind base left with? What is the mind base left with? Nothing. Nothing but a view. Roses are amazing. Now, you tell me, if you were the criminal, if you were the mother, right, and you're looking after every child for 16 years, why to send them out just to see a rose flower? Now, is it worth it? Because something that I think sometimes we don't really contemplate about or we don't really think about is how very short-lived, how very short-lived a mind is. A mind will arise and pass away. But like we said, without the mind, can we perceive the world? Without the mind, can we perceive the world? We cannot. We need the mind to perceive. But because we know, right? So how can we give an example to say that the mind will arise and pass away? Now, to say, if the mind doesn't arise and pass away, then what would happen? So we all know that the mind arises due to what? Just to perceive. If I and sight come into contact, right? A mind is formed. When an eye and an object, or an eye and an object come into contact, a seeing mind is manifested. Now, if the mind doesn't arise and pass away, what would happen? We see this pen, and for rest of eternity, what will happen? The mind arose for some reason, and forever and ever and ever and ever, what will you keep perceiving? Pen. If it's only pen that we perceive, that means the mental base will have no other well, we'll never have the view of seeing something else. Therefore, this will be pretty much what the mind, or what this would have no effect. But we know you can see the pen, and then we can see this eraser. You see this line. Now, do you see the line? No, we know that seeing is always happening. Seeing always happening means what? The mind has to continuously arise and pass away. The mind has to continuously arise and pass away. According to the causes, it arises and then it passes away. Arises, passes away. So even if we had a rose flower right in front of us, we have the view, just we want to see a rose flower, and we have it right in front of us. How long can we perceive this rose flower for? How long can we perceive this rose flower for? One, chitta. Until the next chitta, can we perceive anything? Or can perception happen? It's like this. I remember learning in school, you know, in 7th, 8th grade, we learn about atoms. Remember atoms, right? We have what? The proton, right? We've got neutrons, and then we've got electrons. Now, a very interesting fact is, right? Well, even though we draw this to be like this, how far do you think this is? How far do you think, you know, the nucleus of the atom and the electron is? Now, when we think about it, we think, okay, if a proton was the size of, say, a basketball, where do you think the electrons would be? The electrons would be all the way further than the gate itself. Which means all of this place is what? All of this area is what? Empty. Okay. So empty, right? So if we go to give this number, right? Say we'll say 100,000 meters for now. How far is the next atom? Simple maths. It would also be what? 100,000 meters. So this means this is 20,000 meters distance we're seeing here. Now, of course, it's not meters we're talking about here. But the thing is, it is empty space. However, it feels as though, you know, when we see something, do we see empty space? But they're made out of mostly what? Just space. Now, same thing with the mind, right? The mind is, even the mind, when it arises, there could be a gap. We don't know. Between two minds, there could be a gap. We don't know, but the mind is so fast that it feels as though, instead of it feeling to be one chitta at a time, it feels what? There's a mind, and the mind will, every single time, will try to perceive. That's why if I showed you this, and I showed you this, you perceive this, and then you can say you can perceive this. But for you to perceive this, that is one mind. To change that, that is something else. So the mind is something that arises and passes away very quickly, right? Millions of times in a second. So even if we had something that we'd like, so this rose flower, even if we held the rose flower right in front of our eyes, for how long would you be able to see that rose flower? One, chitta. What arises will pass. Which means what? At this moment, can the mind perceive a rose flower? So it's almost as if the child has died, leaving behind just a note saying, I saw a rose, or I perceived a rose. Now, can the mental base perceive it? They can only get the message. Now, when you think about this, right, how temporary a perception is, and how no matter how, see, for the next, say the mother lives up to 160. The mother lives up to 160 years. Therefore, she makes around 16 children. Right? Theoretically. Oh, 10 children, theoretically. Which child satisfied her need? Which child can, you know, the 10th child, did this child satisfy her need? Did this child show her a flower? Did the child show her anything? The child hasn't shown her absolutely nothing. So what was the purpose? What was the purpose of seeing this rose flower? Now, if you really understand this, right, and how temporary the mind is and how it will never satisfy the mental base. Now you tell me, right? People will work day in, day out, 40 hours a week, right? 40 hours a week, doing jobs they don't like, right? Being forced and suppressed and X, Y, and Z. And they'll work for almost a couple months until what? They get their what? Holiday. See, we're in the month of December. December is equal to what? Holidays, right? No, it's not holidays. It is. December is holiday season. So people who work many, 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 many hours, many, many days, for what? To enjoy the holiday. Okay. They want to see what? What do you want to see? They want to see a waterfall. So they earn so much money, right? And, you know, they don't want to see a Sri Lankan waterfall because Sri Lankan waterfalls, they've seen too much, right? It rains, you see a waterfall and you think, wow, it's a waterfall. We don't want to see Sri Lankan waterfalls. We want to go all the way to the USA to see what? Niagara Falls. The biggest waterfall ever. So they'll work so hard, right? They'll work so hard to make a mind that normally arises without them trying, a mind to perceive what? Niagara Falls. What arises will pass away. What are they left behind with? A message, Niagara Falls. Now, even the message is just not that anything but, I saw Niagara Falls. And with a happy face on it, giving the impression that Niagara Falls was actually good. Now, if you were to actually go and look at Niagara Falls, what would you actually be perceiving? What would you actually be perceiving? Now we're going from even like a mind perceiving a rose flower. A mind can't perceive roses. What can it perceive? A single mind, what can it perceive? A single mind, what can it perceive? So let me draw Niagara Falls. Unfortunately, we don't have a blue pen, so we're going to draw in black, right? That's a rock. This is Niagara Falls. If you want, we can put a board. No, we don't have a board. This is Niagara Falls. In one mind, what can you perceive? In one mind, what can you perceive? Can everyone see that dot? That small dot? The mind will perceive a dot, right? No, you will receive, recognize, respond, and perceive what? That dot. And say, I saw blue. And then passes away. Now the mind base perceives blue, but that's not what it wants to perceive. What does the mind base want to perceive? Niagara Falls. Then the next mind arises. What does that mind perceive? That small dot here. And it'll also say what? Blue. And then it'll think, I saw two blue dots, right? Next mind will perceive and remember and bunch us to get together and say, I saw two blue dots. The next mind. And continuously go and go and you get what I'm trying to say here, right? It will perceive one dot at a time and then we'll put them together, join them together and say, I saw a bunch of different blues and whites and different colors, and then it will put them together and perceive it and recognize it to be what? Niagara Falls. The mind that perceives Niagara Falls, right? So this is Niagara Falls, right? The mind that perceives Niagara Falls, the next moment what happens? It will pass away. So it works so hard just to perceive one mind of what? Niagara Falls. And then passes away. All of this just to perceive Niagara Falls. And even in the end, that mind will pass away. Even in the end, that mind itself will what? Pass away. So what did the mind actually gain from all of this? What did the mind gain from all this? One thing. While perceiving every single dot, while thinking about every single thing, something will be accumulated. What happens? For every mind, there will be what? There will be karma. Because every mind, the mind will perceive, and not only that, because of the mind base having ignorance, it will perceive what? Oh, I perceive blue, I perceive red, I perceive this, I perceive Niagara Falls, and every time I perceive, karma is formed. If when karma is formed, what does that also give you? Vipaka. According to your karma, there will be what? A vipaka. So by the end of you going to Niagara Falls and watching, you know, technically you're just watching water fall down, right? Just like rain, but more concentrated rain. You're seeing water fall down and you think, wow, what beauty, Niagara Falls. And all you receive in the end is what? Is what? The mind arises, the mind passes away, nothing but karma. Nothing but karma. So even though, you know, if you really understand this, you no longer need to go to Niagara Falls to see it. You no longer need to see a rose. You no longer need to go anywhere and do anything for your pleasure. Because you realize, no matter what happens, the mind will arise and pass away, leaving behind nothing but a memory. Memory and karma. But you can say, well, what, you know, memories are very, very important, right? You know, I remember when I was, you know, in my early 30s, you know, I was able to go to Niagara Falls and see it. Now I remember it and I can tell everyone. But a memory is basically what? A snapshot of that moment. Now, the way that Guru Ram describes it, and it's a very interesting way to think about, is that it's almost as though you're saving it in a very, very low quality. I don't know if you've ever seen like really, really bad quality videos. Right? You know, right now we get like 1080 and 720, but you know, there's actually like 144p. If you watch the video at 144p, right? Literally, all you're seeing is just squares of color. Now, a mind that sees just squares of colors doesn't like it, wants to see it in high definition, in HD. That's why TVs nowadays are trying to become more and more, you know, the resolution is trying to get better and better so we can perceive it to be real. So it's almost as if it's been saved in a low quality, and the mind doesn't like that. The mind wants high quality, therefore it will keep looking for it. That's why a person who goes to Niagara Falls once won't be satisfied. There'll be a time where they'll think, you know, I've been there once, let's go again. Well, that's why, you know, as technology increases, right, we've got photos, videos. So it makes us feel, when we have a photo or a video, it makes us feel as though, you know, we were at Niagara Falls. And you can reinforce that we were there, giving you, because now you're seeing again, giving you the feeling again. However, what arises will what? Pass away. In the end, you're left with what? Nothing but karma. Because even if you looked at memory, do you remember everything? I remember. Like sometimes when you look back at memories, trying to remember something in the past. I remember very clearly that I was someone who's very forgetful. Right? You ask me where the house keys were, and if it's not in my pocket, I have no clue. So sometimes when things are lost, you retrace your steps. And so you say, I was in this room, and then I went here, I went there. And sometimes you enter a doorway and the memory is gone. You enter a doorway and you can't remember anything, as though it's blank. Because memories are just snapshots. Well, we can't take anything from it. Almost like a dream. You can't take anything from it. It's almost as though you were dreaming. I remember, I think I was having a conversation with a couple of our monks, and also I was talking with some of our LB students. And something that we were talking about long ago was nursery rhymes. Nursery rhymes, remember? And one nursery rhyme really, really, you know, stuck with me because it was very interesting. And it's something that I think I've talked about before, but it really reinforces this fact as well. Do you remember the nursery rhyme? Row, row, row your boat. It's a very good nursery rhyme, right? I'll give you several, I'll give you a couple, you know, seconds. And I want you to rethink about this. What does this nursery rhyme truly mean? So now you all are equipped with you know, the sights of the Dhamma. Right? I want you to think about this. So for those of you who don't know the nursery rhymes, which will be surprising, the nursery rhyme is, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Gently down the stream. If you see a crocodile, don't forget to scream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. It's interesting, isn't it? Because if you think about it, now I want to start off with life is but a dream first. Life is but a dream. What do you think that means? Every mind that arises and passes away. Is left with what? A dream. Okay. In your dream, right? You go to Niagara Falls. You go to Niagara Falls with a rose in your hand. And you see its magnificence, right? Water falling down onto rocks, the roar of the sound, and you know, the smell of water. Right? And you might even taste a bit of the water. And then you wake up. What are you left with? What are you left with? Okay, show me the Niagara Falls you went to. Could you be like, so I'm gonna answer, here's Niagara Falls. I brought a small vial of the water from Niagara Falls here. Now this is what I smelt. This is what I heard. Show me. In other words, prove to me you went to Niagara Falls in your dream. Prove it to me. No. I definitely went there. You know, there was this place, right? There was a board that says Niagara Falls, and this place, and there was a gate so we don't fall off. And I remember holding the gate and looking. Prove it to me. Okay, that's a dream. You were there in a dream. Okay. A monastery is taking us all on a trip. On this trip, we're going where? We're going to go see Niagara Falls. Finally. Yes, trips. We go to Niagara Falls. All right, we spend a good hour there at Niagara Falls looking. Enjoying the fact that we're at Niagara Falls. And we come home, right? We come back to the monastery. And then Guru Ramdev comes back from Australia and asks, right? Where did you go? We went to Niagara Falls. Guru Ramdev, we went to Niagara Falls, right? We saw the waterfall and it was amazing, Guru Ramdev. It was absolutely amazing. All the Guru Ramdev says is, okay, prove it. Now, this is when several people, there are several theories that, you know, we're actually sleeping. It makes sense, though. You know, there are several theories that say, you know, we're actually dreaming. This is all a dream. And so when we are dreaming in a dream, when we dream, we're dreaming in a dream. It's a weird theory, but it makes sense. Because in the end, when you wake up, or when things pass, it is just a memory. And sometimes we don't remember. So even if I asked you, last week on Tuesday, what did you dream about? Would you be able to tell me, I dreamt about this? So if I asked you, last week Tuesday, from 3 to 4, what did you do? Unless you follow a very strict timetable, right? You'll be like, I don't know. I can't remember. Life is but a dream. Because the mind will pass away, leaving behind what? Just a memory. Okay. Now let's go a bit further back. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Now, what stream are they talking about? What stream are we rowing? What stream are we rowing? Now, streams are very interesting. They flow one way. Do you get like two-way streams? One go one way, the other goes this way. No, a stream will always go from what? High elevation to low elevation. So you can only go one way on a stream. So row, row, row your boat gently down a stream. What stream is this talking about? You see, this is honestly the stream of necessity. Necessity gives rise to what? Existence. Like, for example, if this was over here, will we have a stream? If this was one flat plane, will we have a stream? What needs to happen? There has to be a difference in height, which creates what? The necessity of what? Water has necessity of what? Flowing. Right, which gives rise to existence. Now, here's my question. Why would you row down a stream? If I had a ball and I let go over here, what will happen in the ball? What will happen in the ball? The ball will finally end up here. Does the ball ever row? Do you see a ball like take out its paddles and start paddling back? No, the ball doesn't need to do that. So why would we need to row? Why would we need to row? I'll give a hint. Because of a view. We are not able to accept nature as it is. We cannot accept nature as it is. So what do? We row. As we're going downstream, we see a rock. What do? We row around the rock. We don't accept nature because why? There's a view. There's a view that the world is what? The world is fixed. The world will give pleasure. There is value in every single thing around us. Because of that, we're no longer able to accept nature for what it is. Now we're rowing. However, whether you row or you don't row, what will happen to the boat in the end? It will always flow downstream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. It will anyway go downstream. Why are we rowing? Because we have a view. We have a view that, everything is fixed. Everything will give pleasure. Everything has intrinsic value. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Merrily, merrily. Is rowing merry? Just imagine, right? When you're stranded in the middle of the ocean, right? All you have is a boat and two paddles. Would you find that paddling to be merry? Will you be rowing happily thinking, oh, I'm stranded in a boat with a tiger, right? How great is this? No? No, because rowing itself is extremely what? Tiring. But why do we think it's merry? Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. Why is it merry? Because the criminal thinks what? I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to finally see Niagara Falls. I'm going to finally have that rose flower and finally see it. And therefore, every single thing it does to get towards it, it thinks it to be what? Merrily, 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 merrily. Every single thing. That's why if you ask someone, you know, if they like eating, say, chocolate ice cream, they'll think, you know, going to the shop is what? Merry. They'll think going to the till with this, you know, with ice cream to be what? Merry. To be paying? Merry. To be, you know, socializing with the cashier? Merry. Right? Carrying this home? Merry. To find a bowl, merry. To get a spoon and put it into the bowl, if we're humans, if we're animals, we take it from the box itself, merry. And actually eating, merry. That's why merrily, 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 that's why there's three merries there, because everything becomes what? Merry. For the fact that, you know, this view will be fulfilled. I will finally find something that is fixed. I will finally find something to give pleasure. I'll finally find something to what? That will give me value. And therefore, it thinks everything to be what? Merrily, merrily, merrily. Now, second stanza, right? It says, you know, if you see a crocodile, don't forget to scream. Okay, I'll give you some time to think about this. What is this crocodile you're talking about? Because once you have the, you know, once you have the understanding of the Dhamma, everything you look at can be translated into what? 3D. 2D becomes what? 3D. So even a simple nursery rhyme can become from 2D to what? 3D. 3D meaning, you know, from worldly to no, reality. Well, all you need to do is think. And if look, if some, that's why back in the Buddha's time, you know, there have been arahants who just listened to a poem, right? Just a single poem, and they become arahants. How does that work? So, if you think about it, can't you become an arahant by thinking about row, 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 row your boat? You could. Who knows? Or think about, let's think on another example. Can't you become an arahant by contemplating on ba-ba black sheep? Who knows? You could. Because once you see things through the eyes, or once you see things through the lens of the Dhamma, everything will either it will make sense. Make sense meaning it will give you the idea, the 3D, or it will show you reality, or it will show you the mindset of ignorance. Or also show you ignorance. See, pen. Can't you see ignorance from this? Well, for this to happen, what does there need to be? Necessity. Necessity is what? Necessity can only come from mind. A mind can only, the mind to have necessity for a blackboard, whiteboard pen has to have what? Ignorance. Okay, coming back. Row, row, row your boat down the stream. If you see a crocodile, don't forget to scream. What is this crocodile we're talking about? Now, there's no right or wrong answer. This is just, you know, us having fun with nursery rhymes. So you can have various answers. There's no right or wrong. For example, you asked me this 2 years ago, I would have given you a different answer. Right? The answer I would have given you would have been, you know, merrily, like, you know, you're living and you're living in kiss. Would I ever say necessity? Last year, 2 years ago, will I ever have said the word necessity? I don't think so. See, these, it will improve with time. There's no right or wrong answer. You know, this is us having fun with nursery rhymes. So, if you see a crocodile, you can say this crocodile to be anything. Crocodile could be what? In a very simple way, you can say the crocodile to be old age, sickness, and death. Can't you? Because once you're rowing down this stream, usually if you see the crocodile has to be what? Far, far away? You're focused on rowing this boat. Because why? You want to experience what? Fixed. You want to experience what? Pleasure. You want to have intrinsic value. Therefore what? You're rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, and you're tirelessly rowing. If you're so focused on rowing, when will you see the crocodile? When it taps you on the shoulder and goes, excuse me. You're in my zone. And if you see the crocodile, don't forget to scream. But there's a big crocodile. A crocodile that's not just old age, sickness, and death. Every mind, every single mind, experiences the crocodile, and it will promise you it will never forget to scream. What crocodile is that? The mind will arise, the mind will pass. At this moment, when the mind is finally going into its you know, passing away. Right, passing away because why? It's eaten by the crocodile. Every single mind would not forget to scream. Every mind is screaming because why? It sees the rose flower, right? It sees the rose. But in the end, we'll pass. See, if you really understand this, right? If you really understand this concept of, you know, the mind arising and passing away, now you won't go looking for things. Because, you know, eventually it's all just a dream. Okay, when I say it's all just a dream, don't take into the fact that, you know, we're all dreaming. We're not dreaming, right? I'm saying it to be a dream because your memories don't give you anything. You can't take the ice cream that you ate from the dream. Neither can you give your memories and re-eat your ice cream. All you're left with is just a memory. So if you understand this, you no longer, for example, you no longer need to go places. You no longer need to see things. You no longer hear things, need to go and hear things. You know, I heard that my favorite artist has given a, you know, has released a new album, I must listen to it. You no longer need to, because you realize that in the end, the mind will arise and pass away. That this need to listen comes from where? The defiled mind base. So what should we do? If we understand that the defiled mind base is what gives is what gives this fire to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to touch, and even if I do it, I'm not receiving anything in the end. What should we do? All we have to do is start to purify this back. All we have to do is purify the mind, the mind base. See, there's no point of purifying the mind. Why? Why should we not purify the mind? Because the mind will arise and pass away. You try so hard to purify that last mind and it arises and passes away. And then next mind, if the causes are there, it will also be defiled. So instead, all we have to do is we have to purify the mind base. How do you purify the mind base? How do you purify the mind base? In other words, how do you stop rowing? Why would you stop rowing? When you no longer have what? The need. When you no longer have the view. So, what should we put inside this? What message should we give the mind? The rose is amazing. Niagara Falls was beautiful. All we have to give the mind is, add up. Ada, you know, ada. What's ada? Anicca dukkha anatta. That's all we have to do. Okay, where do we have to go to do that? Do we have to be at Niagara Falls to put ada in? Ada. Huh? Anicca dukkha anatta. Do we have to go to Niagara Falls for ada? Do we have to be eating an ice cream for ada? Do we not have to be eating ice cream for ada? Do we not have to go, if we're at Niagara Falls, can we not put ada? See, anicca dukkha anatta is the medicine here. Anicca dukkha anatta is what will purify the mind. See, there's no point of running after things that, you know, your mind is craving for. Because why? In the end of the day, it's not fulfilled. The other day, we did some, I think we were having a talk with some teachers. And a very interesting topic that came up is from a study, right, done in 2020. Right. So this is what I'm talking about now, almost 5 years back, right? They decided to take a survey. Now, on average, how many pieces of chocolate do you think an average human will consume? I kid you not, over 7,000. 7,000, and there's like 2,000 slices of cake. Again, I'm not giving accurate numbers. I don't have the numbers with me, but I wish I memorized this. But these are high values. Why are these so high? 7,000 pieces of cake in an average lifetime? Because why? The mind can never be fulfilled. Because why? The mind will arise and pass away. Next mind has no clue. All it knows is that its predecessor, right, had done something like this. I want to do something like this, and arises the same way. But in the end, receives nothing. Starts back at what? Zero. The mother gives birth to the child for 16 years, looks after the child, and then what? The child dies. The child perceives, but sends a message, but the mind doesn't only becomes, only craves it more. And only will keep craving it more and more and more and more. And in the end, what will the mother have? Nothing. After 160 years, after giving birth to 10 children, theoretically, he has received what? She has got what? She dies in prison, all alone, having not seen that rose flower. See, all we have to do is what? Put in what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. We go to this mother and we say, look, the rose is what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. The rose is what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Well, would you think this criminal mother, do you think she will take it at first? And you know, when you say, you know, the rose is anicca dukkha anatta, do you think the mother will accept it there and then? What do you have to do? Prove to the mother that the flower is what? Anicca dukkha anatta. Send every child back saying what? Anicca dukkha anatta. The rose flower is what? Anicca dukkha anatta. The rose flower is what? Anicca dukkha anatta. Then the mother will one day realize, you know what? The rose flower is what? Anicca dukkha anatta. Now she will continue, right, living. But she'll never wait at the jail gates waiting for her son or daughter to come. She'll never wait for her son and daughter to come back and say, oh, I saw a rose. No, now the mind will arise and pass away. Until when? Until the life, or until the energy for minds to arise, until the environment for the mind to arise is still there. Once that's gone, the mind will arise, mind will pass away. And the mother will pass away with a smile on her face. Not crying, not worrying, not stressing out, will I be able to see this rose flower ever? No, the mother will pass away with a smile on her face. See, this is what we have to do. See, our task is very simple. What is it? ADA. All we have to do is show ourselves what? ADA. Anicca dukkha anatta. What is hard is this is the opposite. The defiled mind is the complete opposite. It's not ADA, it's what? It's pleasurable. You know, it's fixed. It has value. Because even if you think about this, right? This rose flower. If this rose flower, yeah, you perceive the rose flower is just, you know, one bit at a time. Right? You just see red, 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 green, green, red, 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 light red, yellow, pink. I don't know, what else colors do you see in a rose? See, when we think about roses, the first color we think of is what? Red. Roses can be any color. You have yellow roses, blue roses, but you know, it's just a red rose now. Now, you have all these. single bits of information. The mind puts them together, and it almost as though it takes a snapshot and then gives that snapshot value. And saying that, you know, this rose, we don't know, but the snapshot has lots of value. You're giving the photo more value than the actual object. You're giving the photo more value than the actual object. See, in the end, all we have to do is we have to understand this process. Each time, all we have to do is understand this process. What is actually happening? Now, like we're saying, right? Putting anicca dukkha anatta, there is no time or place to put it. It can be done any time, anywhere. You can be either at Niagara or not at Niagara. You can be eating the ice cream or not eating. You can be seeing the rose or not eating the rose. All we have to do is just place this. Keep on putting it in. Anicca dukkha anatta, anicca dukkha anatta, anicca dukkha anatta. Purifying the mind base. So then, now you no longer need to row. Now no longer are you merry. But you are what? Unconditionally what? Happy. Life will still be just a dream. Right? Just because, you know, you purify the mind base doesn't mean that, you know, you'll be able to see, you'll be able to finally, see a pen. No, that will still be part of your dream. However, you no longer are worried. See, anicca, dukkha, anatta, this is why the Buddha comes into this world just to say anicca, dukkha, anatta, to explain the concepts anicca, dukkha, anatta. He spends many, many thousands of millions of eons fulfilling his perfections. Fulfilling his perfections. Just to come to this world to say anicca dukkha anatta. This is the only thing we need. The body has its needs. That's why the Buddha will have prescribed the four requisites. Food, clothes, medicines, and a place to stay. It's very interesting because if we looked at exactly what the Buddha has said, right? And this happens especially after, I think after high ordinations. It's very interesting because the monk in charge will gather all the newly hired in monk and say, you know, what are they heir to? What has the Buddha made sure that, you know, as the very basic, what do they have? There's the four requisites. The very basic. A monk has what? Arms round. Which means what? They can go around, going from door to door, right, requesting for food. At the very basic, right, a place to stay. Now, if you were to read exactly what a kuti really is, a kuti is something that just protects the body from what? This is why the Buddha has given the pratyeksha. Parisankha yoniso senasanam patisevami yavadeva sitasa patigatai unhasa patigatai dansa makasa vata tapa sirin sapa sampasanam patigatai yavadeva udu parisam vinodam hirikopena patisalana natam. Right? Now, this is truly for what? The body. Because the body is something that is not part, is not the mind. The mind doesn't need a form here. Mind only needs just what? Something, just eye or sight, sound and ear, smell and nose. But the body is something that is affected by what? The body somehow is affected by the environment. That's why the basic requirement is just for what? To protect from the elements. Rain, the sun. To protect from what? Insects. To protect the body like that. So the Buddha prescribed arms. The Buddha prescribed a place to stay, medicine if you're sick, and clothes. Same thing. To protect from the heat, the cold, the insects, right? And to cover the body. That's what he's given for the body. For the mind? What is he given for the mind? Huh? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. If you're hungry, what should you do? Eat. Should you starve yourself because you're hungry? Should anicca, dukkha, anatta be the answer for you starving? No, because it's part of the body. Should anicca dukkha anatta be, you know, if you're sick, should anicca dukkha anatta be the solution for that? No. Anicca dukkha anatta is just for what? To purify this. Anicca dukkha anatta is just to purify this. You know, you have an extreme headache. Do you think you can contemplate on anicca dukkha anatta now? Well, the contemplation of anicca dukkha anatta remove the headache. All you need is what? Just two pills. What? Paracetamol. Take two pills of paracetamol and then the headache will go. Anicca dukkha anatta has nothing to do with that. However, if the mind is under vexation, if the mind feels pressured because of their sickness, that pressure can be removed with what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. You see, this is why anicca, dukkha, anatta, the Buddha goes through countless eons, going through all of his 10 perfections, fulfilling it to the absolute maximum, just to come to this world and say anicca dukkha anatta, because this is the actual solution. This is the only solution. Because if the mind passes away and the next mind is completely new, it's newborn. If the next mind is completely newborn, now you'll continue to need. That's why 7,200 pieces of chocolate is not enough. That's why, you know, tomorrow as well, you need something. Because why? That's why the next moment, you need something. Because why? This is only a new mind that arises and passes away, and another new mind arises. That's why anicca dukkha anatta is the only solution. You can eat for your entire life and not be satisfied. You can, you know, find the cure for any sort of sickness, but you'll not be satisfied. You can get one of the biggest houses, like a massive mansion, and still not be satisfied. You can wear clothes made out of silk, made out of gold, and not be satisfied. But you only need to practice anicca dukkha anatta. And then you are satisfied. What we have to continuously do is put this into practice. Ask yourself, right? Let's say when you go on alms round today, let's say you get some cake. Ask yourself, when I eat this cake, what will happen to the mind? The mind will perceive and then the mind will pass away. What did I receive from this? But if I'm craving for this cake, now my mind is what? If you see a crocodile, don't forget to scream. Your mind is screaming. If the mind is craving for the chocolate, the mind is screaming. But it will cover the scream. It will cover the scream with what? Merrily, 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 merrily. It will cover the scream with what? It's all good. Finally, I get to eat, you know, after being in this monastery for the last 2 years, I finally get a piece of cake. Finally. Or after being at the monastery for the last, you know, 15, 30, 100 years, I finally get to eat a piece of chocolate. What will happen? The mind will arise, the mind will pass away. Instead what? Why am I craving for chocolate? Why am I craving for X, Y, and Z? The mind has a view. The world is what? Nitya Sukha Atta. All it is for the antidote. All we have to do is make sure every mind keeps on passing the message that the world is anicca, the world is dukkha, the world is anatta to the mother. All we have to do is continue to give that message, and then one day the mother will understand. One day the mother will understand. Now see, this is why this journey is such a beautiful journey, because this is a journey of understanding. Because all we have to do is nothing but understand. Sit down and understand. Now there's two ways to understand. One is from external, one is internal. But for you to be able to understand internally, first of all, external has to happen. And that's why you cannot understand this by yourself. The only person who can understand this by themselves is what? A Buddha. Either Sammasambuddha or Paccheka Buddha. Even Arahant Buddha has to do what? Have to first externally get the view. This is why. If you don't know how to put anicca dukkha anatta, this is why you need a teacher. This is why after these sermons we have these discussions. This is why, you know, if you're a Sita Shravika, Shravika, this is why you get, you know, time to discuss the Nyaya. This is why you have, you know, teachers' meetings. If you spend your teachers' meeting saying, oh my God, you know, this person, can we find a way to remove this person from my group? Right, you know, my Nyaya, you know, he's so annoying, right? You know, no matter what I say, he would always say, you know, so what? Right, he's not thinking, right? Let's just, please, teacher, please, let's remove them. Or, you know, I'm currently, you know, I don't have enough time to go do this and do this. Can we find time? Can you remove some of my responsibilities? If you use your teacher to, you know, make your life easier, that is not what a teacher's for. A teacher's for one and only one thing. Well, no, not just for one thing. The teacher is also there to make your life easier. Don't get me wrong. So if you do need something, please go to your teacher and ask. But the teacher's there for main purpose is what? Anicca dukkhanatta. Teach you anicca dukkhanatta. If you don't know how to put anicca dukkhanatta, go to your teacher and say, I need help. If that teacher doesn't know how to answer, then go to your teacher's teacher and say, I need help with this. If they can't give an answer, well, who should you go to? The teacher's teacher's teacher. See, technically, if you have a very good question, okay, a very good question that you need to attain Nibbana, and no one can answer, you can go to Guru Handra and go to Guru Handra, I have this question and I need this to attain Nibbana. Please answer this question. You have, you know, full permission. If your teacher can't answer the question, if your teacher's teacher can't answer the question, if your teacher's 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 teacher can't answer the question, then the only teacher left is who? Guru Handra. If Guru Handra can't answer the question, what should you do? Write the question down. Right? And make a firm determination that, you know, one day I'll meet a Buddha. Right? And the Buddha will finally be able to answer my question. Because one thing we know for certain is that our teachers are practicing the path. That our teacher is not just one step, but hundreds of steps ahead of us. So, if they can't answer the question, well, ask their teacher's teacher. But there'll be a point where you have to ask, is this question relevant? If Guru Handra and my teachers are going on the path without having to think about this question, why am I thinking about it? This is why, if you don't know how to practice anicca dukkhanatta, you need a teacher. You still need to externally understand. Once you have a very basic understanding, now you can internally understand, but also you need external as well. External, see, this is why a teacher is not just external, but internal as well. You yourself are your own teacher. So teach yourself. Once you have a basic understanding, try to do to put into practice. This is such a beautiful thing. It's just you, all you have to do is understand. Let's yeah. Yeah. The rising and passing away of the mind itself is also anicca. And all you have to do is all you have to do is just realize. That's it. Let's say you actually have the desire to go to Niagara Falls, right? Because we've been talking about Niagara Falls for the last like hour or so. You know, Niagara Falls, Niagara Falls, Niagara Falls. I haven't been to Niagara Falls, but I've heard it's amazing. I need to go. Even if you need to go, right? If you feel the craving to go, all you have to do is do what? Put anicca dukkhanatta. Once you understand that, now what? You no longer need. If you really think about this, how many minds do you think you waste? Now, when I mean waste, I mean two things. One waste is, you know, waste in defiled mode, right? The second waste is, you know, our aim is to help ourselves, but then also help everyone, all sentient beings. Because of our defilements, how many minds do you think are wasted that we can't help another person with? When you're thinking about chocolate, can you think about how you want to help another person? When you're thinking about, you know, this person's being really annoying to me, how can you think about helping another person? It's very interesting because Those of you who have been at the monastery for some time, you know, we have timetables, right? And timetable used to be my enemy from day one, right? Never liked them, never did, until you realize why it's there, right? You have to do this from this at this time, and this and this and this time, and this and this at this time. That is it, like the timetable. Yes, say for example, you have an hour. Let's say every day you take an hour at the Valley Monwa, right, meditating. Right, you've separated that hour out to go to the Valley Monwa and meditate. Honest to heart, right? In that hour, how much of that time are you actually contemplating? The entire hour? Five minutes? It will take 5-10 minutes. So the other 55 minutes? That's because of this. Now, a lot of people, when we have discussions, say that, you know, the monastery, you know, some of our monks, they are continuously up. Like something that we all joke about is how rarely we get a break. Like, when was the last time you saw one of our monks take a holiday? Like, we're going to leave, we're going to go somewhere and spend the week somewhere, spend a couple of weeks at a holiday. Right? You don't. And you can say, well, that's against human rights. Everyone has a right to have a holiday. Everyone has a right to take a break. Yeah. If the mind needs a break, it needs a break. But when the mind isn't defiled, does it need to take a bit break now? If the mind cannot feel time, if the mind cannot feel time, does the mind need a break? For the past 2 hours, I've been, you know, sat down and talking with everyone. You know, I need to take a break. If the mind can't feel time, will the mind need to take a break? No, because we need to take a break thinking, because we think, you know, for example, right, growing up, you know, studying, right? So the last week, and I think also on Monday and Tuesday, I think our children, 18 minus and 13 minus Noble Hearts, we were having exams at our school. And it's really fun, right? Because you really see how the mind truly is. So you see some children, they're studying, right? They study for 2 hours or study for an hour, and they go, you know, sorry, no, I need to take a break. I've been studying for the last 2 hours, I'm gonna take a 5 minutes break. Good, okay. Right. Of course, we give them the break. So we're not saying that. But in my mind, what I think is, well, were you studying for the last 2 hours? Did you really study for the last 2 hours? Or did that mind arise and pass away? Because if you see like that, now you can be sat in front of that book for the next 8 hours, being what, without being what, bored, without being what, tired. Physically tired, yes. I mean, mentally tired, no. Because why? The mind feels time, therefore needs to take a break. If the mind doesn't feel time, and especially another thing that I really want to talk about very briefly is, well, we're coming to the new year's, right? So today is the 21st. Yes? 21st, meaning we only have another 10 more days. 10 more days, and then we have a new year. New year, new me. I'm going to change my life, going to make these resolutions, going to change my entire life. You know, from the 1st of January, I'm going to spend 2 hours at the Valley Malua doing this, doing that, and we're planning all this. Because why we feel that, you know, 1st of January is special. Now, that's something that I want to talk about some other time as well. But I really want to briefly touch upon this. Is the 31st of December the old year and the 1st of January the new year? New year, new me. These are concepts that, you know, that not just myself, but everyone around us, we go through, you know, in the new year's gonna change. But really, is it new year, new me? Do you change on the 1st of January? Well, unless on the 1st of January, somehow, you know, your ignorance disappears. I don't know. Who knows, you know, when the suns and moons and planets align, ignorance disappears. If that is so, new year, new me. But apart from that, no, it isn't. You are, you know, the defilements will continue to make you feel that it's special. So these are things that you can actually think about. If you still feel the 1st of January to be special, why? Why do I still feel this to be special? And it's something that we'll talk about next time as well, next week as well, because I am aware that we are running out of time. So think about these. Anicca dukkha anatta. That's all we have to do. Put these into practice. So I do have some messages that I want to pass as well. So one of the messages is that today we have a blood donation campaign. Right? See, you can't think. Just think about how meritorious, or how far our teachers think. Now, some people can have the idea. So, what is the point of donating your blood? You know, we're giving it to people who are in hospitals. You know, we're giving it to people who, you know, who maybe have accidents or have some sort of illness. We're helping them, but isn't it better to give to the Mahasangha? Giving to the Mahasangha is what? Mahatpalai Mani Sansai, right? The greatest result, the greatest benefit. So, if you had the choice of giving a dana and giving blood, which one's more meritorious? You see, I think something that is really, really amazing to think about is what Mahasangha truly means. Because, you know, you're here, you know, especially when we invite monks to go to the alms round. You know, atite varisavarisavaduda anagate. And in the past, present, and future. The Mahasangha in the past, present, and future. Let's say a person who had a life-changing motorbike accident, right? And they've lost so much blood. Luckily, someone has donated blood, therefore they're alive. They realize, you know, what they did was useless, and they got so scared that, you know, I almost died. So what do? Usually when people get scared, what do? Right? They turn to religion. They go like, oh, I need to be saved. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, my life flashed in front of my eyes. And so what do? They start listening. To what? To Dhamma. And within another 1 month, right, you see someone at the monastery with a massive scar on their arm. You ask them their story and they say, you know, I had this massive motorbike accident and my life flashed before me. Because even they count. If you think about it, they count as what? The Mahasangha. Future? I don't know. Can any of you see the future here? Anyone can like foretell the future saying if a person will become Mahasangha or not? No, this is... We can't say that. So by donating our blood, one person may in the future be part of the Mahasangha thanks to who? See, that is what? Mahatpalai Mahanisansai, with the greatest result and the greatest benefit. You see, I want you to really think. If thinking makes your brain bigger, right? As you grow, as you go onto this path, your brain will be like massive. Because why? This is just thinking you have to do. Future. Can't I help a person? So in the future, they become part of the Mahasangha. Won't they in the future become an arahant? They will. And not only that, just think about... Now, I can speak on behalf of almost all of us, right? We are all people who contemplate Dhamma, right? No one here is new, right? We are people who contemplate the Dhamma. We live and breathe in the Dhamma, right? In the middle of the best noble associations that the world can ever give. Now, if you had a magnet and you kept on stroking a metal, what happens to the metal? You remember, you know those experiments you do in school. You take a needle and you take a magnet and you stroke the magnet and you let it, and then what happens to the needle? It becomes magnetized. And you put it on a very strong magnet and the needle becomes a magnet. Okay, if that is so, your mind. I would actually even argue and say, on the journey to become very pure, arises in a body, and the blood pumps through the body. Is it not like the magnet and the metal? Don't you think your blood is filled with compassion? Filled with kindness? Filled with love and appreciation? Remember, a mind arises according to what? Environment. When we talk about environment, what really counts as environment? Anything. In a very technical way, can't blood be environment? Can't blood help the environment? Help the mind environment? So, by giving blood, aren't you helping someone to attain Nibbana? I would even imagine, like, once they use, your blood, right, they will change completely. I would even think that, because why? You all of you are people who always are on this journey, filled with love and compassion. I wouldn't be surprised if the person changes. The person who needs a blood transfusion will change completely the moment they come out of the hospital. I wouldn't be surprised. That's how great people you all are. Just think about that. Right? Think about how meritorious it is. Because it is, something that is needed. Of course, society needs it. Society needs blood. For what reason? When someone is dying, to keep them alive. We give blood for what reason? Whoever needs the blood, and they will attain, and may this help them to do what? Attain Nibbana. May they understand anicca dukkha anatta. These are determinations. Determinations are what? Determinations are massive forces that can alter vipaka. a determination can alter vipaka. That's why strong determinations can actually alter the path or can alter how vipaka takes place. Therefore, if your determination is strong, you're altering vipaka of a person. This is why if you really think about how far our teachers think, it's incredible. Because even I know, even me thinking like this, I'm only thinking a small distance. If you were to ask my teachers, they'll think further. If you were to ask the Buddha, right? A random question, you go to the Buddha and go, Venerable Sir, we're having a blood donation campaign. What are the benefits of giving blood? How long of a sermon do you think that will be? If the Buddha was to preach, now of course the Buddha himself won't donate blood, right? Because I don't think so, but if he was alive, maybe. But he would give a massive talk about the benefits of donating blood. So here's the thing. Think, and think a bit more. Because it's only as you think that you are able to accumulate not just merits, but your path nibbana is also what? Thinking. But to think, you need merits. To do merits, you need to do what? You need to do what? Think. To do merits, you need to think. Because can you do merits without thinking? Okay, this pen falls from the sky. Who gets merits? No, but if I think I need to give this to someone, and I give it to someone, now what's happening? Now I get the merits. Me getting the merits means I can think about this. Me thinking about this means I can do more merits. Thinking leads to thinking, 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 and then thinking, 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 and then passes away. Some point in this thinking process, what happens? The mind will be cured. The mind will be purified. Until then, think. Until then, keep thinking. Think about the extent. How many minds you can help. See, we're on a journey to what? Heal hearts and mend minds. Have that in your mind while you do all these meritorious deeds. See, this is why if anyone was to ask me, right, what is the easiest way for me to attain nibbana, right? So, not you, but say those who's listening online. What is the easy? If someone was to come to you and ask you, right, sir, madam, I really want to attain nibbana. What is the easiest way to attain nibbana? What's the answer that you would give? If they say, if I can do one thing to attain nibbana, what should I do? What answer would you give? My answer would be just the one answer. For all of this, what needs to happen? Come. Just come to the monastery. Just come. That's all you have to do. Don't think about nibbana, just come to the monastery. And nibbana will happen. That's why you don't need this, but those of you who are listening online, if I can give one advice, the easiest way, the quickest way to attain nibbana, come. Because there is no easier way. Imagine trying to think about this without a teacher. Try to understand Anicca Dukkha without a teacher. For example, you, me, we all are at the monastery. Right? I live in the monastery 24 hours. Right? Most of you come for more than 12 hours a day. And yet we're still on the journey. Now imagine someone who can only listen to a 2-3 hour talk twice a week, three times a week. That's why, again, think about how lucky you are, how very lucky we are. That's why for all this to happen, we need what? We need noble companionship. That's why the Buddha says, Ananda, the entirety of this sasana is what? Kalyan means noble companionship. If there's no noble companionship, there'll be no sasana. No sasana means? No? No understanding them. End of story. So do and think, right? So if you are eligible to donate blood, please. I think people will be very lucky to have your blood running through their veins. If you can't donate blood, what should you do? Go to a corner and start crying. Oh, I should have been able to, donate blood. No, rejoice. Because it's blood that's given. Whose blood is it? It's only blood that's given. Whose blood is it? See? Think and think of it more. Right? Because, the blood that comes out of this body, is it mine? No, it's just blood. Well, if you want to break it down further, it's just what? Red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, and blood plasma and whatnot. Who is it? It's no one's. So if I donate blood, is the merit only for me? No, but if I donate blood, I'm usually I should be thinking, unless someone decides to once someone is like, if I have gone to sleep and like take my blood out when I'm asleep, then will I get merits because my blood is what's being given? No. So if it's just blood that's given, can't we all rejoice in that? See, thinking. Think and think a bit more. Right? That's the way to Nibbana. Think about the reality. Okay. Do we have any more notices? No? On the 25th of December, on Christmas Day, we will be having the Dolos Prigo offering. If you haven't given it on the 12th, you have your chance to give it on the 25th. Again, the 25th will be very busy, very interesting. And it's going to be very long. Very long. I remember once going to the Dhammo home and we had a Bhuktan Modana, just a normal Bhuktan Modana. And I was just listening in. And I think the monk was there reading out almost, give or take, 100 names. One after the other, after the other, after the other. And I was thinking how meritorious those people must be. They've passed away. They're no longer alive. But yet people are thinking about them. People are wanting to give them the best they possibly can. Hundreds of names. Literally, I just was there just thinking, okay, another one and another one and another one. How meritorious they are. Right? So 25th will be a very long day, especially for those who are giving Punyan Modana, right? We know that through experience. But it's a very meritorious thing. So if you haven't given a dolus particular, please do. Right? It is something that your past relatives and ancestors will very much appreciate. If they can rejoice in the merits. Because not all past relatives and ancestors can rejoice. Only a very small handful, which is actually very scary to think about. Because when we say, you know, rejoice, we're transferring our merits, let everyone rejoice. Not everyone can rejoice, just a handful. Just a handful. I'm not very good with, the very spiritual, the unseen world things. But I've been told that, you know, there are hierarchies, and not only that, only certain species of beings can actually rejoice. So your relatives, if they can rejoice, will be very, or your past relatives, will be very, very grateful. Okay, so the 25th and the blood donation campaign. And also not to forget the 31st of December, we have the Medh Chandni Karma, which is the overnight Karma Sthana's chanting. I'll have more information of that next week, I think. But again, it's another meritorious deed that we can all rejoice in. There is so much in a week that we can rejoice for. Like, I was talking to my father who had come to the monastery. I think he was like a tad bit jealous that Amma was here, right? You know, my mother was here. It's like a tad bit jealous. So he was like, you know, I'm coming to the monastery for a week or for 10 days. And he was telling me about how much meritorious deeds he does in the day. So it's like, you know, yesterday I was able to do this, yes, like, and this and this and this and this, I was able to do this and this. Some things he was like, I'm not sure I was supposed to do it, but I still did it. And anyway, right? And not only that, I get to see every now and then the meritorious deeds that not just our anagarikas, but all of you do in day. Have you all realized how clean the wash bay is? No, it does. No one just cut nothing. Like, it doesn't clean itself, right? It's done by amazing people. Absolutely amazing people. So, in a week, we have so much to rejoice about. We are very lucky. Right. Let's take a few moments to transfer all the merits we require by making offerings to the infinite virtues of Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirit, listening Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today, so first and foremost. Let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to the Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to a generation of noble lineage in the form of Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all Chiefless chapters who have dedicated their lives to no path and committed themselves to betterment of all sentient beings. Not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns residing in local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Gurusan Ransi, as well as other monks resident at the monastery, as well as Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's take a moment to transfer merits and express our gratitude to those who make great effort to disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be that by translating some Shandamath, other finding us doing the Mithapadamas, if you need to be born in the world of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blessed plane, may by the power of men, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble four path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to the friends of the monastery who, for sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha shelter, arms, road, medicine, as well as those who pass on their know-how, extend their well wishes. May the paramites, may they abstain from non-meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our mothers, fathers, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, sons, daughters, friends and acquaintances, employees, employees, to all those who've helped us, supported us, assisted us in any shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they be healed in physical and mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's also taking moment to chant some merits to the devas, brahmas, spirits, demons, primary sakadeva, the wisdom of gods and deities who have committed to protect and fulfill the sambhutasasana. Let's not forget, among them will be our garden deities, who keep a watchful eye of us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of merits, may the prosper and divine power and wisdom, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to chant some merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been friends and family to us in this even long journey in samsara. Let's also take a moment to chant some merits to all those who lost a life net, to the police force as well as the armed forces, as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those who lost life in the world be the friend of her. Rejoice in the merits required today. Let's also take a moment to chant some merits to all those who lost a life in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, and reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this even long journey in samsara. May the power of merits, if any of them have been born in the willful plane, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, it's all resolved, may the power and blessing of all the merits we require throughout the day. We may witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arhat Mahinvanses in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits required throughout the day, you and I and everyone who made this program a success become a Arhat Nivansi or a Arhat Mahinvansi in this very life in the era of the Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you.
Raga ginnen midetnva dvesha ginnen midetnva moha ginnen midetnva nibbhana parama sukhayan sukita taravetnva nibbhana parama sukhayan sukita taravetnva mamada siyalu loka siyalu satvayo nibbhana parama sukhayan sukita taravetnva nibbhana parama sukhayan sukita taravetnva nibbhana parama sukhayan sukita taravetnva raga gini niveva dvesha gini niveva moha gini niveva nivan sapa labeva nivan sapa labeva nivan sapa labeva
tunwange susi ananta mahaguna melen siloka sil satyama nibbana pamisukin sugitaravetta.